I feel really grateful to be here today. Excited to share my story and my journey in LA with you, and hopefully God will use it as God will. And there's my prayer. It's like, okay, God, let me do your will. So qualifying, I came into OA when I first, so right now I'm 41. I think I came into my OA when I was in my 20s, and I was absent for 2 years, and then I relapsed. And I was out for probably 5 years, and then I came back in again in 2011, and I've been absent and clean from, I haven't had sugar in 8 years, so that's a miracle for me. That's really one of my big puppies is sugar. So it's been since January 2011, my current abstinence. And luckily I got back into these rooms. My shame didn't keep me out because I didn't want to come back in with all my weight that was on and show you that I failed, because I like to look perfect. I'm not perfect. And so luckily I saw a member and she said, come back. And I was like, okay. So I did, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back, and I keep coming back, and I keep coming back, and life is not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and I keep coming back. So weight loss, probably, or weight gain, I have fluctuated up, down, yo-yo, but I think I was probably 50 pounds heavier than I am right now, so I've lost probably 50 pounds, and then I've been really tiny at times too. I mean, I think I've just been really disconnected from my body. So in college, which I'll get into my story, you'll hear my story in a moment. So, but I've been all over the place with my weight. So I was raised in I was a middle child. I was raised in a Catholic home. My parents were raised in Pennsylvania, and I was raised with a mother who tried her best and a father who tried his best, but passed on some dysfunction probably to me. So my family looked really good on the outside, and a lot of dysfunction on the inside. That's probably my story, is that it can look good on the outside, but you're not gonna see what's on the inside. So that's a little bit of what things I've had to work through in recovery. So middle child, raised in a Catholic home, there was sexual abuse in my home. And so I was sexually abused, and I'm okay with saying that. There were many family members that kind of passed on from generation to generation. So I am a sexual abuse survivor, and it's been, I don't feel too much emotion around it at this moment, but I have in my recovery. And I felt anger and resentment, and anger and resentment, and anger and resentment, and here comes the steps of, well, look what I have to work through. But it happened. I didn't cause it, I didn't make it happen, and I have to work through it. And I have worked through it with this program and with help of other things. So sexual boundaries were kind of really iffy in my home. I don't think we knew boundaries. I don't think my family knew boundaries. I'm not sure. It was kind of all chaotic. It was just chaotic and kind of survive. And so from the young age, I would use food to soothe myself. I didn't really go to my parents to soothe myself. I tried, but they were so busy with their own stuff or couldn't soothe me. So I would just use food. I was overweight as a child. I think I was a baby, is what the stories were told. I had colic, and you feed Jill, and she goes to sleep. So that's kind of, okay, feed me, you know, and I'll soothe. No matter what the feeling or emotion is or was, feed her, and, you know, and that's what I did. And so as a child, I think after some of the abuse happened, I could see pictures, and I can see the weight just come on. And just, I went to food, and I went to sugar. And I would sneak up in the medicine cabinet, and like at six, I remember six, and getting the six, or maybe I'm exaggerating, maybe, I don't know if I was old enough to get the little thing open, but I would eat children's chewable Tylenol, because my mom was always on a diet. She was always on Slim Fast, and she needed to look good and pretty and do all this stuff, so I would pop these children's chewable Tylenol when we didn't have sugar. And so my favorite binge foods were cereals, animal crackers, you just name it, anything with sugar. I loved it. And so the weight came on. And I was an overweight child. I was awkward. I did not know how to socialize. Awkward, I felt weird, I felt different than others. I felt like I didn't belong, or I never could like make a friend, you know, not a friend, like that's too scary, you know, something's weird with me, I just will not make a friend. So food was my friend, and food was my friend. So I gained weight, and then my parents were a lot about, I think they did their best, but I was gaining weight, and my parents tend to, I got into swimming. So I got into swimming, like, get this weight off. Like, let's get this kid moving a little bit. Let's get this weight off. So I got into swimming. Again, that perfectionist kicked in. I needed to be perfect and good, and I was a good athlete. I took to it really quickly. So I was, at 12, I was, I think at 12, yeah. I was top 16 in the country for swimming, because here's extremes, right? So if I'm awesome, then all this will go away. And so I pushed, and I pushed, and I pushed, and I probably pushed myself. And so I found a way to control my weight, was swimming. So it was, well, here we go. I'll just eat what I want and swim and swim and swim and swim and swim and swim. And I don't have to interact with anybody. What a joy. I just have to be in the pool, put my head down, do what I know how to do, and be good at it, and get kudos from people. Like, wow, you're such a good swimmer. And so I did that. And then high school came around. Missed out on that socializing piece because I was swimming and I was in my eating disorder. You know, I would go back and forth of not eating. I would not drink water, and I was exercising at that time, morning practice, night practice, 3 hours at least a day. I mean, intense swimming, like national level. And so I wasn't listening to my body. I wasn't hydrating myself. People said, you look yellow. And I'm like, you're just jealous. People look yellow too, but there's the eating disorder. Like, I'm better somehow because and in my house there was competition between my mom, my sister, and I. And so I wanted to be the skinniest, and that's so superficial and it's so sad. And there wasn't a connection. It's not about who's the thinnest, who's not the thinnest. And so so that happened, and then I started drinking in high school also. So 14, I drank a lot. I would go back and forth, eating disorder or drinking, and swimming, eating disorder, drinking. You know, so swimmers like to party a lot, and so we would do that, and I did that, and then I got a scholarship to go swim in college, which was nice. At the University of Tennessee, and my poor coach, he thought he got a good athlete, but he got a mess. There's more to a person than just their athletic abilities. So in college, I was depressed. I crashed. I couldn't swim the way I was supposed to swim. I would cry in the water. I wouldn't let anybody see me, because being an athlete, you don't cry. You suck it up, you know, and you push, but no pain, no gain, and you go. And so I would cry in the water, be depressed, and cry and sob, and I wasn't sure what was going on. And long story short, they took me to a group with athletes with problems. So athletes with red flag athletes. So I went with a friend. I was like, I'm going with my friend. And they're like, I think you need to go too. So I went with her, and there was a woman there who was in recovery in OA and in AA. And so there was both there, and she was a counselor, and she really saw the pain, and I didn't even know I had it. I just thought I had to push through it. So I started going to this well, kind of intervened on, like, you need to go, because and when you're an athlete, you're kind of their property and they want you to perform. And so then from there, I went to OA for, well, I was hitting bottom. I couldn't, I was crying and I was doing all these things, and I was, again, my weight was maintaining because I was swimming. Now it's up to 5 hours a day because you're back at your higher level. And so they said to me, I think you need to go to OA, because I said one time, you know, I mean, so many binges. I would go through the drive-thrus. I'd go through, I'd order a ton of food. I'd eat those so fast. I could say less than like 5 minutes, like give me all that food, just and away from people, away from people. I would make cakes and I'd eat them all, the whole cake, you know, the whole sheet pan of cake. And I would steal my roommate's money to go get food. And I would, I needed to, I eventually made amends for that. I would take the food out of their stuff and, you know, try to make the box look not so taken out. Like, I didn't eat that much, you know, and but I ate that much, you know, or I would replace it with a new box. Like, oh, I'm good. Like they didn't know what was going on, but I thought, oh, it's good. So I went to, they said, Jill, I think you should go to OA. And I didn't really trust women because in my house, my mom and my sister were competition. So I went to OA, and I remember it was in Tennessee, down south. And I picked a male sponsor. I was like, you can be my sponsor. Would you be my sponsor? I had no, and there's where, you know, we do the best we can. And there's where I think we have compassion for all of ourselves coming in. Everybody is doing the best that we can. So I was in OA, and then I could not get abstinent without giving up alcohol. So I kept drinking. Then it was like my drinking increased. So you talk about sugar, either I'm in the sugar or I'm in the sugar, or, you know, so the alcohol. So senior year, I made messes of friendships. I hooked up with people I didn't should not have hooked up with when I was drinking. And these counselors kept sticking with me and said, Jill, I think you need now to go to OA, or no, to AA. So I went to AA. I was going to both OA and AA, OA and AA, and it worked. It was like, ah, it's working. Something is working. There's some shifts. And so from there, I was sober. I've been sober 20 years. Actually, June 1st will be 20 years. So that was pretty amazing. Now, food's a little different. But I've been sober that long. So by the grace of God and by this program and 12 steps, I've been sober that long. And then with OA, I was absent. I moved to Tucson. I got away from my family. I didn't want to go back to Ohio, because I didn't want to go back to Tennessee, because that was all about partying and drinking and the swimmer. And now I was done swimming, and I had no idea who I was. So all I was a swimmer. So I have no idea who I was. Ask me if I swim today. I don't. I probably could, but I don't. I'm rebellious, and I'll stop, and I'll be like, no, I don't want to swim. But I had no idea who I was, and these rooms showed me who I was. So I was in OA, and then I relapsed after a breakup with somebody and went back out. Then thought I could do it on my own. I studied this. I read it. I was educated about eating disorders. I can do it on my own. And somebody in the meeting said, we're going to always have this disease. And I'm like, no, we're not. No, you're wrong. I know. And there's that ego. I know I can do it on my own. And no, I could not. And here comes the weight. And here comes the weight. And here comes a little bit more chaos in my life and stress. And I was thinking, I can't do it on my own. I've got to go back. It's the only thing that has ever worked for me. I've tried many other things. This is the only program that has worked for me with my food. The only thing that has been sustaining and life-giving to me, soul-giving, and it works.
I mean, that thing, it works if we work it, right? So it works. It's miraculous for us addicts of food. And I am definitely an addict of food. So came back in, met somebody. Actually, I was going to Al-Anon. I was struggling in relationships because it's really difficult to be in a relationship when you don't trust people. So I went to Al-Anon, saw the OA member. I was like, oh, no. And she's like, come back in. So that woman now is my sponsor. And so I'm really grateful for her reaching out her hand and saying, come back. And she's been my sponsor for the whole time since January 11th. And that's a progress for me. It's hard for me to get close to people. I tend to like, I'm close, I'm not close, because it's scary. It's a little scary to share yourself with another human being, of like all the steps. I mean, you're talking about intense step work. And I have done it by the grace of God, right? By this program, I've done it one thing at a time, one step at a time, one meeting at a time, one meal at a time, you know, just for today, which I like. So doing that, and then what? Since I was in OA, I've, what else? So I'm on my way in recovery now. So I have gotten married, and I'm not an easy person to live with, and I've been married for 8 years, and that's during my recovery. All he knows is like recovery, and my family knows that I do my food and you do your food. Like, we will have different sets of food, and that's okay, and they can have their foods in the house and I eat my food. But this is life sustaining for me. I have a 13-year-old daughter who has recently asked, now she's getting curious, Mom, why are you going to meetings? Like, and why don't you eat in between meals? And why? And I'm like, well, honey, because I have an addiction, and why don't you eat sugar? And I think she's getting it, you know, like, I just have this disease, and this is what I do to take care of myself. And I'm so glad that we have this, because I think I would have been dead, committed, I'm sure, because I can get crazy in my head sometimes. And I'm glad we have the fellowship and the people. And I couldn't do it without other people who have gone before me, people who are newcomers. There's no way I could have done this on my own. And people who accept me for who I am, which is new, and with my flaws, which is new and different for me. And I can practice being authentic. I can practice skills in here, like saying, no, I can't do that, because I can't, you know. those are recovery behaviors for me, because mine are linked to, there's many layers of recovery for me, and I continue to work the steps, continue to try the best to my ability. At times I'm a little defiant, like, I don't want to, but then I come back to the steps. So, and I have a home today. I paid off $25,000 worth of debt.
Wow.
I have a career today. Thank you. And this is because of OA in 8 years. I have a career that I love, that I'm making a difference, I hope. I have a purpose. I have my car paid off. I'm raising my daughter. I think my daughter is a huge motivator for me. I'm raising her the best of my ability, to be there for her, show her what an absent mother's like. When she was little and I was eating, so I had her, so I've been married 8 years, she's 13, so I had her from a man that I didn't love, because here's making amends to my kid, and this, because again, that's another addiction. Let's just jump into another thing. So I've made amends to her and her dad and said, I'm sorry, you know, I should not have been with you. And hopefully she still likes me. But that's my biggest shame, of like, I had a baby with someone who I didn't really love. I probably made a mess of their life, and my poor daughter goes back and forth and trying to make sure that she's okay. And the steps help me make those amends, and living amends, and doing the best I can for her. And so I didn't want to show her what it looks like to be into food. I didn't want to show her what it's, I didn't want to role model that for her. I want to, and she's okay with food. You know, it looks so far so good. But I didn't want to role model that and show her and give her half of me because I wasn't present because I was in an addiction. And so what else is going on in my life? Today I have friends and they're patient with me and I have people in this program that I trust. And I keep coming back. I love doing, what has bumped up my program has been service in a group level. I get a little tired of, I know business meetings can be, but for me, the service at that level has taught me skills that I didn't have confidence. I never thought I was smart. I forgot to tell you that. I couldn't absorb stuff in school because I think I was too trying to survive, like can't absorb things. So I was just a good athlete. And then now I'm like, I know how to do computer stuff, even though I'm not the best at it, but I know how to do it. I know how to follow through and say, I will do this, or I will do that, or I will show up today. I will do this. And service has taught me those skills and the confidence of like at work, like, oh, I know how to be a part of a committee now because of OA. And now I was a vice chair, which was fun, enjoyable, hard work, tough, and rewarding. And, giving back to OA, I finally feel like I'm at a point where I want to give back. Like, I am blessed to be where I'm at, and I want to give. Like before, I couldn't give. I needed to take. Like I needed people to, and now it's my turn. Let me give back. And so that feels really good. I have sponsees, which I love. It's rewarding to talk on the phone and do the steps with them. And it's every time I get off the phone, I feel like refreshed and yes, okay. Memories of like recovery. And then I right now I'm the region rep, so I get to go to, I went to San Antonio for a retreat and got to see people from all over our region, like 8 different states who are in OA and see what their program looks like and hang out with them and get refreshed and get recovered. And sometimes it's difficult being a working mom and having a teenager who needs to go to this activity or that activity and then forget it for me. So I get these times, but also to be of service to Tucson, of like, God, what would Tucson want? This is for Tucson, okay? I think these programs are miracles. I like that they're not, I like the traditions because I don't like the hierarchy. I will run from that. I like that we're all equal. I like that we are, we're in this together. There's nobody better than, nobody worse than. We're not climbing up a ladder. We're not impressing. We're here for our own recoveries. And I'm just really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for the gifts this program has given me. I feel like it teaches me how to be a functioning adult and stand on my own 2 feet. Self-supporting. I didn't think I was could have been self-supporting, but I am. Like, I can show up and earn some money, like that. I was raised, you're gonna get a man to marry, you're gonna get somebody to take care of you. And that's not been the case. And I'm grateful that I have these skills. Like, no thank you, No thank you, I'll take this life. And I might not have all the material things that I was raised with and blah, 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 blah. But no thank you, I'll take personal growth, strength, connection to God, people, authentic people, and I'll take recovery. Goodness gracious, how lucky. I mean, there's recovery from this disease, and I get out of my head, right? Like that stirring, that craziness that we do, or at least that I do in my disease. So I feel really grateful to be here. I'm not sure, is that time?
Like 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. And what else? What do you think? I'm making, I've said this, I'm making friends today. What else has OA brought me? It's brought me
the weight loss, right? The management of the weight. I feel like my food is like a budget. I had to learn to get onto a budget, you know, financial budget. And the food is like a budget. Like, oh, I just have this. Oh, good, I can feel more. And then I have this. And then I have this. How easy for me to follow that. My relationship with God has been a little challenging at times. Sometimes I've been really connected to God and spirituality. The concept, step two, came to believe, because mine was tied in with my, what happened to me as a child was tied in with some shame and guilt and using God as not what God is supposed to be. And that I've had to work through. I do pray for God's will. I don't know what God is. I have no idea. Maybe, I don't know. For me, I'm like, just pray the prayer, you know? Help me do your will. I don't know, and that's okay. It doesn't say we have to know. I'll just pray it, and it works. And continue to keep learning and growing, and I'll trust the process. I think that's all that I have. Thank you.
It is now time for questions. This portion of the meeting may be recorded. Our leader will repeat the question and answer the question. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, Beth.
Could you tell us about your daily spiritual practice?
Sure. So my daily spiritual practice is I wake up in the morning and I meditate and I pray and I ask for God's will to be done, just as it says in the book. And I pray throughout the day, God, help me do your will. I was in the bathroom there, like, God, help me do your will. I have a book on my desk at work too, a little meditation book that I do. For me, the prayer, God, help me do your will, is really helpful. And meditating and getting quiet is helpful too. And that's what I'm doing at the currently.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, the hardest amends. Well, I did go back and, you know, give my roommates their money and say I lied and I, you know, did these things. One of the hardest amends, well, I had to say I was sorry to my parents. You know, I had a part in this. Yeah, which is fine. I had a part in it. Like, I was dishonest. I was verbally abusive. I was physically abusive as a kid to them. There's my part. There's those things. I also donate a lot of money to food banks. Of all the food that I wasted and took in, consumed that I didn't need. I'm trying to take in just what I need. So I've donated a lot of money towards them. But I think maybe the hardest amends is like the living amends to my daughter. So,
yeah.
And her dad.
Thank you.
Just kind of expound on your food plan. How did you get on a food plan? What it consists of?
Yes. So
repeat the question.
Okay. So how is my food plan? What does it consist of? So when I first came back into OA, well, the first time I did the gray sheet, and that was for me. It worked, but it was really restrictive. So for the second time I came back in, I decided to do 301. So three meals a day, nothing in between. And no sugar. So as my recovery has progressed, I have added a snack in there just because I get hungry, you know, so it's like there's a snack. So it's not exactly 301. But I don't eat, I look at ingredients. If it has the five top ingredients of sugar, I don't eat that. And I go back and forth. There's times that I have done white flour. I know there's all different theories out there. Right now, I'm currently doing natural, like I want to, I'm kind of into this earth thing like now, of like I want to eat really natural and whatever's grown from the earth. And so, like, I'm more, my daughter's vegetarian right now and I'm doing more vegetarian. So, those things. But I don't, the bottom line is I don't have that sugar. It just doesn't work. And I stick to those guidelines. Yes.
Thank you, Jill, for your share. Question of your self-body image. How has that changed?
So...
Repeat the question.
How my body image has changed in recovery? Well, it has changed. My body has changed in recovery. Sometimes I'm shocked when I look at pictures. Like, I don't know that that's me. Like, what? I didn't know I looked like that. So it has shifted where I used to as a child would tear up pictures of myself because I thought I was overweight and too big. And so I hated any pictures of me. And now I like pictures of me, but I'm a little shocked that that's me. So it's still like, ooh, you know? So I didn't know I looked like that. So it's maybe still a little distorted, but I'm not tearing up pictures. And deleting. You know, people bring in their fat pictures in, right? Like, and we share. And mine are, a lot of them are torn up, you know, because it's like, so that's how mean I could be to myself. And trying to treat myself well is what I'm doing.
Hi, Kiva.
I'm really grateful that Jill is part of my life. She's really special to me, as are other people in this room. You know, she was asked what are some of the hardest amends, and my hardest amends continue to be to myself. I've had some, you know, it's kind of like this, but when I get in that beating myself up place about what I've done, what I did to my kids, and, you know, I can get really, really depressed about that. So I try to, they're over it, at least as far as we have a wonderful relationship. I have two grown sons, and, you know, they don't want to hear any more about my events. They just want me to be well. I came to OA, I think, about 2014, my abstinence has been, I've had some great times of abstinence. Last year I decided, or I don't remember when it was, but it was in January or at the end of last year, I decided to go on like a 8-day no food plan, which, you know, was a really great idea. So, I mean, my eating disorder has been with me since I was little. My mom's was a crazy dieter, and I don't know, I just keep coming back. Like what Jill said, you know, I just keep coming back, and sometimes I don't want to be here, and sometimes I'm really grateful, and sometimes I come in the meeting rooms and laugh. That's one of the best parts for me, is being able to be in a meeting and laugh at ourselves. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one in the meeting laughing. I'm not sure what that's about, but I don't know, if we can't laugh, then like, what's, you know, if I can't enjoy this, what's the point? I'm grateful that you know, I was asked to help out today. That feels really good to be of service. And I talk to my higher power as often as I remember to, which is a lot of times every day. So, you know, I get that from you guys. So I'm grateful to be here today.
Thank you.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, compulsive reader. I appreciate hearing from Jill this morning, and I share a lot of her same story, except I'm not an athlete, never was, and don't aspire to that at all. I'm more a reader, sitter in the chair kind of person. But I'm so grateful that OA is here, that it's still the same OA that I discovered, you know, back in 1972, that it does and has brought me recovery. And that also, I think the biggest thing is that continuing to work the steps in whatever format they come up. I have an opportunity now. I'm a snowbird. I come back and forth every year, and every year when I'm back, I try to find a new way to work through the 12 steps in the period of time I'm here. And currently I'm working in the new 12 and 12 that we have, and in that workbook and answering questions. And I continue to discover things that I need to know about myself and what I do and what my some of my crazy ideas are that need changing. And I'm so grateful because doing the work and continuing to try to develop my relationship with my higher power has just continued to amaze me and changed my life. And there's periods of stillness in my brain, you know, the chatter isn't going on all the time. There's, I have for many years, I've written on the For Today and Voices of Recovery of the Day. You know, that's just part of my routine in the morning. And I'm continually amazed that even though I've done that every day, every year, and every day for a long time, I discover something new when I sit down to write, or there's a new thought, or I'll see a familiar one that I really love, but I have a whole new take on it. So I love it that it's progress. I love it that there's not a finish line. I used to be so worried about, you know, getting this done, or like using the tools. I got to use every one of them, and it's about how well I use them. And oh my gosh, I'm a bad person. I didn't use this one or whatever. But my attitude about all that has changed, and I find that hunger, you know, that hunger of searching for something. Isn't there as much anymore. Sometimes it's there, but I'm grateful because when I have a hunger and it's not time to eat, I recognize I'm needing something, I'm wanting something, I have to have something. I just have never had a clue before of what that was. But now I know it's that it's in my soul, it's in my spirit, there's something going on that I'm not letting myself have, you know, that I'm depriving myself of. And that if I can talk to another person in a way, or write a little more, or just be still and feel, I might get to identify what it is I'm feeling, and that might help me a little bit know what I need. And I'm not as reactive anymore, you know, I'm not, I can respond because I can be still and be quiet, and I don't feel it very often anymore that, you know, unless I have the answer within the next 5 minutes, the world's going to implode or whatever. So I'm just grateful to be a work in progress. I'm grateful OA is here. You know, it's alive, it's well, it's so rooted here in Tucson in the steps and traditions. And for that, I am so grateful, because the traditions, too, have been what has empowered me to be okay, to feel safe. So thank you all for being here today. My son was supposed to come for the weekend yesterday, and I felt sad because I was happy. And I was sad he was coming from Texas to visit him for the weekend, because I thought, oh, gee, I won't get to hear all I want, because everything's more. I want it all, you know, so I wanted all of this, too. And we got a call yesterday morning, when just an hour before we were supposed to pick him up, that he'd had an incident on the way to the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning and missed his flight and was not going to be coming because it would be just too short by the time he got another ride. So I was real disappointed, and yet I was really happy because I thought, well, I can be here today. So, you know, it's more level. It's not the end of the world. You know, there isn't the end of the world so much anymore. And when the end of the world does come for me, I think That'll be okay too. So, thanks.
Thank you.